Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, depending on where you are in the country, in the world. It is indeed my privilege and honor to be back on air on Peace Talks on Life on Now Time Radio. And this is your host, Audrey Scott Williams. It's been a while since I've been on air, and a lot has happened during that time. I wanted to begin by thanking all of you all over the world who have connected with us, who have shared your comments regarding the transition of Natalie Scott Williams, my mother, known to many along the paths that we've walked together as Mama Natalie. I just really thank you for your heartwarming responses. It was truly overwhelming. We had emails and cards. In fact, we're still receiving cards and emails and Facebook posts regarding Mom. And if you'd like to know more about Mom, you can always visit AudreyScottWilliams.com, and you can click on the link that is in the upper left-hand section of the website. You can click on the link that says makes a comment about family. That will shortly change to Natalie's page. Please feel free to go on that AudreyScottWilliams.com and click on Natalie's page and find out more about the life that she lived and how she touched so many. You know, many people that I've met both here in this country and around the world feel that Alzheimer's is a diagnosis of death. And Mom actually was vital. She was diagnosed in 1996 and just made her transition on May 2nd, 2012. So she lived with Alzheimer's for all that time, nearly 17 years. And when I say lived with Alzheimer's, Mom traveled around the world with us for 3.5 years on the Trail of Dreams World Peace Walk and completed the 13 Moonwalk for Peace on 11-11-11 and decided at that point that she, once we got home, that it was time for her to begin slowly easing into her transition period. It was so beautiful to watch her as she began to let go. And I say beautiful because she was so present to the process and gently took us through the process with her. And so by the time she took her last breath at 1:10 on May 2nd, 2012, she had prepared us for that moment in such a beautiful way. And what was so beautiful about this is that following, actually just before Mom's transition and shortly thereafter, people not knowing that Mom had made her transition were contacting me either by phone or emails and saying, you know, Mama Nat was here with me last night. She was in my dreams, or I was doing something today and I felt her presence. And so I always say that Mom was making her rounds, checking in on folk as she was preparing to step into the other realm, the heavenly realm. And I'd like to honor the fact that as of this time now, Mom has officially joined the ancestral realm. In many traditions, 40 days is the period that the soul sort of lingers on in this realm, making sure that all things are in order before going on and joining the ancestors. And so I really am grateful that Mama Natalie is now a member of the ancestral body that is looking after us in so many ways. So, Mom, we salute you on your journey. Thanks for passing this way. thank you for engaging us all in a gentle walk through life where love was so paramount that all you had to do was turn on your smile and we all rose to the occasion, whatever that occasion may be. I wanted to share several things on this show. I am the guest on this show and the host, but I felt like it was for a new beginning. This was I wanted to share my process because what happened after Mom's transition was that there was so much that needed to be done, and life goes on. And I just found myself. It felt as though I was just kind of being present, but not really present. And I was surprised because I did not go through an initial grieving period. It was just, okay, what's the next thing to do? What's the next thing to do? And it became so much, or such a habitual posture that even up to Mom's 40th day after her passing, I realized that I was into deep grieving. And for all of you, you know, from time to time, we all lose someone that's very dear to us. And I have learned through this process, just as I've learned through our peace walks, is that taking this grieving process one step at a time has been the most healthy thing that I've ever done. And I'm so grateful because I'm very... I can be very, I wanted to say, in my own head about everything, and I don't always listen to good advice. And this time I did. I listened to the advice of those loved ones around me, and I listened to my own internal voice to take it slow. So one step at a time continues to be the best approach. But allowing myself to grieve has given me a deep connection to the things that I value most and the things that I know are temporal in my life and that they're only here for a moment. And so I can either attach a value to them because they're so precious, such as the life of my mother, or I can recognize them for what they are in terms of perhaps some material possession that all of a sudden, you know, I'm putting more energy into than my own well-being. That's temporary. All of life is temporary except our soul consciousness, our higher self that will be here not only in this embodiment but in the embodiment of eternity. And so it helped me to bring into perspective what's important and what's not. It helped me to let go, and for the first time in my life, I returned very few phone calls, very few emails. All the projects that were the most important thing in my life before the time that Mom began her transition, all of a sudden now I realize that the world will continue to spin if I take time to get myself together. And so scheduling Peace Talks on Now Time Radio to begin today, June 22nd, 2012, is sort of the beginning of me coming forward. So as I thought about doing the show today, one of the things that I wanted to share, again, is take time. If there's a major thing happening in your life, particularly around death and dying, pay attention. Pay attention to what's being called forward in you. Honor the process and have something that you initiate as you find yourself coming through that allows you to close the door behind you or allows you to complete some demarcation in your mind that allows you to complete that process so that you can move forward in a way that is healthy and in a way that best serves you. And I remember traveling with Mr. McCool, and he used to always say when we went through major life shifts, or even just shifts in our learning process, as he was the consummate teacher, he would always say, don't forget to close the door behind you. I wanted to talk about passionately engaged, affecting community everywhere as sort of the second segment on our show today. I want to say, by the way, that we're going to be doing half-hour shows probably through the end of September. Again, honoring my own process and moving slow, but also because I believe that so many of us are so busy that an hour format sometimes is difficult for us to engage in. But a half hour allows us to get the information and keep moving forward. And so we're going to have a shorter time, but we're going to have a lot of information in that time. So at this point, I want to shift from the grieving process. But there is one thing I wanted to add. Death and dying, although we equate it with a person in our life, can also be when we move through major passages in our lives. For instance, when we go through a divorce, when we go through a breakup, when we go through losing our home, anything like that is a death and dying process. So, again, honoring all of that within you and allowing yourself the time to move forward is so important. I wanted to shift now to talk about this whole concept of one step at a time, because peace, I believe that where we are right now in the world, no matter what it looks like, we are about to emerge in a paradigm of unprecedented love. And I believe that because as people are growing, as people are shedding old levels of consciousness, I find in every circle that I am in that people are elevating. And I know that, you know, some of my friends say, oh, you're forever so optimistic, but look at this situation, look at that situation. If you stop and think about it, even in some of the worst situations that we have, there is an elevation of consciousness because this is a time of revelation, you know, now time prophecies. The grandmothers talked about this time that we were coming into, and indeed we are in now, that this is a time of revelation. All things that have been hidden before are going to be and are being revealed. So it's more difficult to keep things hidden than ever before. And if you look at the convergence of consciousness and technology, it certainly is the vehicle that is allowing us to put things out in the forefront. So as we are going through this major shift, what are some of the things that we can do individually? You know, I find, and I'm sure there are many of you who are going through this experience, that sometimes the pace, the sheer pace of things is overwhelming. And the pull to do, you know, we have a culture of doing. We do, whether we think about it or not, we just do. And then we get into the habit of doing, and we forget that sitting in stillness and silence can be the best solution often for us to find our way through things, to find ourselves back, to remember ourselves back into our own state of consciousness that allows us to recognize who we are, why we're here, what we're connected to, that we are interconnected to all things. There is no separation, and therefore there is no scarcity. And so how do we access the abundant supply of all things that is available to us? How do we make it available for the world? As we were walking on the Trail of Dreams World Peace Walk and the 13 Moon Walk for Peace, people would always say to us, well, I wish I could walk with you. And so tell me what to do. How do I walk with you? Even though I can't be with you on the trail, I could embrace it in my day-to-day life. And so it made me begin to think about, well, how did we get, we being the walkers, how did we get to be peace walkers? What is it that we had to do in order to do what we do well? And the first step in the process, so I narrowed these down to 7 steps, and that's what I wanted to cover today. The first step is to establish a healthy relationship with self. When you walk, it requires time with yourself. It's like making a date with yourself. And you can use this time to feel, and that's what we always talk about on the walk. You know, no iPods, limit the conversation. Use walking as an opportunity to feel rather than think. Feel your way into knowing the spaces and places within where healing and restoration are needed. You know, when you walk, you begin to tap into that universal peace, that universal love, that fabric, if you will, the weave of all life. Your feet are connecting to the earth. Your head is in the sky, and all around you is nature. You can even observe life happening in its own way, in its own time, and the fullness of life. And that brings us to the next step, which is developing a spiritual practice. As you walk, one of the things that we found as peacemakers is that we had to learn a practice. And why? Because having a spiritual practice kept us connected to a source greater than ourselves. It's so easy, especially in our culture, to get away from realizing that we are a part of divine substance. We are a part of a divine flow, that there is a source or a substance, an essence that embraces us all. And so what we said is let us develop a practice. And in truth, you know, every member on the team had their own individual practices. And yet there was one practice that we tried to do consistently, and that was to greet the sun in the mornings, whether we were doing Qigong, whether we were doing Agniholtra, the sacred fire, and sitting in sacred circle. It was all about connecting and grounding us in the spiritual awareness of who we are so that we would remember that as we walk. It could fill us and enable us to walk with open eyes and witness that awe-filled moment, you know, that only a power greater than us could have created. I mean, gosh, I remember sunrise at the top of the Grand Canyon. I remember praying at the Golden Temple in India. I remember being in Palenque in the Queen's Chamber. You know, I could go on and on and on, but there are those moments when you stare out into the heavens late at night and you see a shooting star. Those moments make you fully aware that there must be a power greater than ourselves. How else could all this have been created? The third step in the process for us was, and that we spent all of our time in nature. But what we would say with those of you who wanted to walk with us, and we do continue this in our practice now that we're home, is spend at least 20 minutes a day in nature. Why? Because nature heals. Nature fills us with her breath and the very breath of life. It is in nature that we can de-breathe, inhaling in all that good oxygen, exhaling the carbon dioxide, and it's a beautiful life-giving exchange. It constantly connects us with the ebb and flow of life. It reminds us that we are part of a great unfolding of creation. You know, we're not separate. We are a part. And it allows us the opportunity to develop a great sense of awareness and appreciation for life itself. You know, when you spend that time in nature and you make that a part of your spiritual practice, what you find is that you're less likely to want to litter on the ground. You're more concerned about the harmony around you, protecting the environment. You're more concerned about what you eat. All of this happens as a result of connecting with nature. So 20 minutes a day in nature. And that's not 20 minutes a day outside engaging in something. It's 20 minutes a day. When I say engaging in something, I mean, I'm not talking about going out to wash the car. I'm not talking about going out to paint the house. I'm talking about really creating 20 minutes to totally be in nature. The fourth thing that we found in order for us to be successful on the walk is we had to build supportive relationships. And we had to recognize that all relationships are sacred. And the ultimate success of our life work comes down to the relationships we build and which mutually support our life work. You know, I remember talking to a Native friend of mine one time, and we were just talking about the about gold and the whole quest for gold and the impact that that had on many indigenous people around the world. And one of the things he was saying, you know, it's kind of sad, but when the invaders came into America and other continents, what they didn't realize is that to tribal-based people, indigenous-based people, the true goal wasn't the metal. The true goal was relationships. So let us remember, build supportive relationships. What you see in the people around you reflect the consciousness that you're holding. So sometimes we get into difficult relationships. Take pause, because it may be a powerful lesson being presented to you. As you move through this difficult relationship, you get to look at aspects of yourself that either still need healing or still need compassion. And paying attention allows you to catch that lesson, because sometimes we want to just be in the relationships that make us feel good. But sometimes a supportive relationship may be a relationship that doesn't make us feel so good, but really forces us to look at ourselves in a much healthier way. The other, number five, the other thing that was very important for us was the consciousness of helping somebody. Service to others is something all of us can do. And if we all did it, we could transform the world immediately into a place of harmony and balance. You know, I hear a lot of people are talking about prosperity and abundance and speaking specifically to money. Well, on the walk, you know, we had to walk in such a way that while we had some money for our basic needs, pretty much what we needed had to come from a very creative pool of people who were willing to support us, to help us either financially or housing or what have you. So we couldn't afford to be out there on our own and not, one, build these supportive relationships, but two, have a tremendous consciousness about helping someone, being in service. And when money got tight, we found that the most important thing for us was to serve, find somebody to serve. I mean, after all the great masters who walked this earth did so with a mission to serve humanity. Number six, enroll in a program or activity that expands your awareness of self. Peace walking around the world, peace walking around the country, through the Appalachian Trail, holding a consciousness of peace and healing and transformation, was engaging in an activity that truly expanded my awareness of who I was. And I think everybody who walked with us, whether they walked a day or they walked the entire walk, we had to know more about ourselves. And that's, you know, one thing I would say to people who wanted to come on to the walk. And everybody had their ideas about what this walk was, and generally those ideas are more externally focused. And what I would always say is the most difficult part of this walk is not going to be what you do for somebody else and how you do what you do in community. The most challenging part of this walk is how you embrace yourself, how you begin to look at who you are, and how you begin to come into balance and harmony with that. Because what generally keeps us from venturing down a path of self-discovery is fear. Fear of the unknown, or fear of losing what we have, or changing who we perceive ourselves to be. Even fear of what others may say. So I encourage everyone to include in your practices programs and activities that enable you to learn more about yourself in relationship to yourself and to the world around you. Seven, develop the strength and courage to follow your passions, even if there are times when you must walk alone. Follow the path of your passions. What makes you resonate joy? What makes you feel you are completely doing what you came here to do? What is it that when you are fully engulfed, the activity makes you feel good about yourself? So many of us lose sight of our passion, our joy, as the stuff of life becomes so pressing. We forget the dreams that awaken us to our potential. We forget that we are all powerful and settle for getting by. But the dreams have a way of rising up when we least expect it, begging for an opportunity to become our reality. Know that following the path of your passion will lead you down a path of many twists and turns, but if you have the courage to go the distance, even through the times you may have to walk alone, even through the storms you may have to walk through, even when there are times that you're going to be talked about, misunderstood, what's going to come out of that is you're going to discover gifts about yourself. You're going to discover a wisdom that resides in you. You're going to connect to a love that expresses itself in so many ways, so that when you show up to others, there's very little you have to say, because all of a sudden you have embodied the process of walking for peace. This is your host, Audrey Scott Williams, on Peace Talks on Now Time Radio, coming to you every Friday at 12 noon. On that note, I want to say have a fantastic week. Walk with us each day. Just take 20 minutes a day and walk for peace. Walk for love. Walk for a future that begs to be expressed in its most enlightened way.
There's a gift, there's a light in your heart. You just can't contain it. When we all play our part around the world, it's just so amazing.
Okay.
fortune. We can make